This is the EWN Radio Network.
She's smart. She's successful. She's an executive. She's an entrepreneur. And she's the chief executive of her story. Who is she? She's you. Welcome to the Power Lunch on EWN Radio Network, your Power Lunch Hour, keeping you informed of women in the headlines and making their own news. And now here's your host, Mona Lisa Como.
Welcome to the Power Lunch. I'm your host, Mona Lisa Como. Well, we've made it, and somehow 2015 has flown right by. Yes, folks, believe it or not, it is the last month of the year, and we're rounding out the countdown to Christmas as well. That's when you know it's bad, when you have to start Christmas shopping. Hopefully you and your family had a great Thanksgiving weekend. We did. It was very great. We focused on experiences. My first time actually doing a lot of the great things we have out here in Florida. Unfortunately, the last few Thanksgiving weekends and 2 days have been very plagued by lots of violence that's going on in the news. So we want to first call out and say, we send our condolences to the victims of the San Bernardino attack that just happened yesterday. Our prayers are with those victims, their families, as well as the survivors who have witnessed a traumatic event. Please be sure to include them in your prayers, and especially during this holiday season, let's pray for peace. Well, we have a full hour of news, folks. We will have a feature interview next week. Today, we're going to focus on a total hour dedicated to women in the news. And in fact, we're going to spend the last part of this segment focused on Forbes, who just launched their most powerful women in sports. I think it'll be interesting because I thought it would be mainly women athletes. And it's really surprising to see how many women powerhouses are behind the scenes at some of the major institutions, but also just to see how many women are actually playing a big part in ownership, right? A lot of that's a surprise today, whether it's in the NFL or in other franchises. I think you'll enjoy it. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started, and we're going to kick off on the global front. And while the U.S. has yet to find its first female president, the same is not true for the major world powers, such as the U.K.'s Margaret Thatcher years ago, to the reigning most powerful woman in the world, who is, ranked by Forbes, Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel. She's who we're going to kick off with right now. Chancellor Merkel, who has been in power over Germany since 2005, has been the formidable European leader, especially given Germany's dominance in the European Union. Well, while Ms. Merkel has played her hand in just about every major European political event over the last decade, it seems that she is facing her toughest challenge now, both in Germany and in the EU. With the recent terror attacks in Paris just a few weeks ago, and an angry Putin threatening Turkey as well, Angela's commitment to take in over 800,000 refugees, this headlines this past week show her power is starting to weaken. Just a handful of articles that we pulled out that definitely show a lot of the conflict and the criticism surrounding Ms. Merkel. Newsweek posted German chancellor to return Afghan economic refugees. This article highlighted on the fact that she was very pro-refugee and now has switched that to say that Afghan refugees, not all, can stay in the country. Brett Barton did another article. Nearly half of Germans want Angela Merkel gone. That's not a nice one. Market Watch did an op-ed, why Europe will be better off after Angela Merkel leaves. Ouch. And multiple outlets have a title, Angela Merkel's, quote, Yes We Can Blues. Well, Angela's most unfavorably and possibly career-ending move has been her lead stance on stating Germany would take in close to 1 million refugees. In fact, it's the country that is leading the charge across Europe and the world as to how many refugees they've committed to take. Well, that has not garnered her a lot of support from the folks back in Germany. Then, to kind of counter the criticism that she was having at home, she recently stated, as was quoted in the Newsweek article, that Afghan refugees seeking economic asylum, so a little bit of a clarification there, those refugees who are seeking economic asylum, asylum for better life rather than political asylum, those who are threatening that fear for their life, will be sent back. Well, critics claim that Germany under Angela Merkel in general should have done more to deal with the issues creating the refugee crisis. Many criticize her, saying that she's only dealing with the symptoms and dealing with from humanitarian. While applauded for her efforts to bring in refugees, many think that the leader has basically not had enough leadership to show that the German chancellor, her country, and Europe can actually help prevent the crisis from happening. Unfortunately, not to her credit, she's not done enough hope many had hoped that she would create some sort of no-fly zone in working with the U.S. and with Europe, as well as Syria and any of the other Arab leaders. She's not been able to really push forward on that, instead dealing again from the humanitarian crisis. Well, the next German election is expected in 2017, and it could be a long and painful road for Mrs. Merkel to re-election. On other global news, another woman who is on Forbes' Most Powerful Women in the World, and she is president of her country, is Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff. Well, she's facing also strong headwinds back home. The New York Times posted a headline just last night, quote, "Faced with many crises, Brazil focuses on Dilma Rousseff's impeachment case." That's right. They're going a little bit farther there. Brazilian's opposition party has led the charge against the beleaguered president as the economy has lost more than 1 million jobs this year. It's not even over yet. This is the worst recession that Brazil has ever seen in decades. That is despite the fact that Brazil actually hosted the FIFA World Cup and is hosting the Olympics. Well, President Rousseff's critics contend that there has been widespread corruption under her, hence the impeachment cases. But the president continues to fight the allegations, highlighting the issues with the opposing party. Well, given the state of the economy, and we see this here in the U.S. as well as with Angela Merkel, this may be a fight she might lose as well. Well, back here in the U.S., Hillary Clinton continues, and she is the presumed Democratic Party candidate for president, for the presidential nomination for the Democratic Party, and while Carly Fiorina struggles to remain in the top three for the Republican ticket. Both candidates weighed in on the recent attack on the Planned Parenthood clinic, where a gunman last week killed three. Well, the women's right to choose was briefly in the headlines, but quickly took a back seat, of course, on the campaign trail as the candidates now deal with the issues of the San Bernardino attack, addressing mainly gun rights and versus gun control. Either way, folks, it's a long road to November. Meanwhile, a big news here for women in the military. The Department of Defense announced yesterday that women will now be allowed in all combat positions. Defense Secretary Ash announced today that beginning in January 2016, that's right, less than 30 days, all military occupations and positions will be open to women, without exception. For the first time in the U.S. military history, as long as they qualify and meet standards, the Secretary of Defense said women will be able to contribute to the Defense Department mission with no barriers at all in their way. Quote, "They'll be allowed to drive tanks, fire mortars, and lead infantry soldiers into combat," Carter added. "They'll be able to serve as Army Rangers, Green Berets, Navy SEALs, Marine Corps infantry, Air Force parajumpers, and everything else that was previously only open to men." Even more importantly, the secretary said the military services will be able to better harness the skills and perspectives that talented women have had to offer. Well, despite the real progress in recent decades and lately, opening more than 100,000 positions to women across the services, the Department of Defense said that only about 10% of military positions, which is about 220,000 in total, have remained closed to women to date. But, which is good, is this isn't a from-the-hip reaction. Over the past 3 years, senior civilian and military leaders across the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine, as well as Special Ops Command, have studied the integration of women into these positions. The only outset was the Marine Corps. They did ask for a partial exemption in areas that included infantry, machine gunnery, fire support, reconnaissance, and others, but they've been overruled. In a memorandum to all the secretaries of every military department and others, the Defense Department Secretary Carter directed the military services to open all military occupation specialties to women 30 days from today, a waiting period required by law, and by that date to provide updated implementation plans for integrating women into the positions now open to them. So Carter's not only asking and saying that this has to go into effect, he's actually mandating that each of the armed services actually prove how they're going to do this. But Carter also hedges, in fairness. Full implementation won't happen overnight. He stated, fully integrating women into all military positions will make the U.S. Armed Forces better and stronger, but there will be problems to fix and challenges to overcome. That's fair. I mean, this is, you know, the first time they've ever done this in history. We shouldn't diminish that. The military has long prided itself on being a meritocracy system where those who serve are judged only on what they have to differ to defend the country. Well, this is a truly historic step for the U.S. military and for our generations here on forward. We want to congratulate Defense Department Secretary Ash, as well as the team, on this bold move, who courageously challenged the status quo. Well, before we wrap up before break, one more bit of happy news that made global headlines, and she's not even a week old. Well, welcome to the world, Maxima Zuckerberg. She is the first child and newborn to Facebook founder and billionaire Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, Grace Chen. To commemorate her birth, the Zuckerbergs penned a letter to their daughter on Facebook. It was such a lovely letter. I just read it. Donating 99% of their Facebook shares to charity, quote, to make the world a better place for our daughter. The letter and gift was praised by all of the most powerful couples in the world, from Bill and Melinda Gates to the Obamas, the Buffetts, Sheryl Sandberg, Susan Wojcicki, and even Shakira. Read the letter and their plans for improving the world for Max and the next generation. What a wonderful gift. And hey, what's 45 billion to billionaires? Well, when we return, we're going to have more women in the news and our feature of Forbes' most powerful women in sports later on this segment. I wonder how many of these powerhouse women you know. More when we return.
Are you an entrepreneur, coach, or consultant who is tired of constantly searching for the next client? Are you ready to get your expertise out of your head, into the world, and packaged into a profitable online course that delivers a steady stream of your perfect ideal clients to your door and a steady, predictable source of revenue? Hi, this is Janine Blackwell, creator of Create Six Figure Courses Virtual Bootcamp, and I've created my own seven-figure courses, and I've walked hundreds of experts like you through the step-by-step of creating and launching a profitable online course. I'd like to invite you to a free online training I'm hosting for you called The 7 Steps to Creating and Launching Your Profitable Online Course. I'm going to show you exactly how to create your course, market your course, and automate delivery of it so you can get your course up and running fast and have it work for you 24/7. You can grab your spot for this free training at www.createmyonlinecourse.com. So join me at www.createmyonlinecourse.com.
Did you know banks decline more commercial loans than they approve? In fact, national banks approve less than 20% of all business loans submitted. And that doesn't include the loans that don't even qualify. But at Interpares Capital, we are here to overcome those odds. We are a nationally recognized commercial brokerage firm with access to thousands of public and private lending institutions. That means we have more options to finance you than your bank does. Whether you are a startup or in need of debt refinancing or growth capital, we can help. We do the heavy lifting so you can focus on running your business. Contact us today for a free consultation with one of our business advisors at 855-365-1930. At Interpares Capital, we are your business partner in finance.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Power Lunch on EWN Radio Network, your Power Lunch Hour keeping you informed of women in the headlines and making their own news. And now here's your host, Mona Lisa Como.
Welcome back to the Power Lunch, sponsored by Interpares Capital. When you need financing for your business, go to the experts who have more financing than your banks. I'm your host, Mona Lisa Como, and this next segment, we're going to do a power round of updates with women in business and entrepreneurs. First, we're going to start with the most powerful woman in business, General Motors CEO Mary Barra. The most powerful woman in business and the first woman CEO of the auto industry is responsible for over $156 billion in sales and employs roughly 216,000 people. She received a letter earlier this year from Sergio Marchion. He is the CEO of Fiat Chrysler for a possible merger. Mary denied the request, sprouting rumors of a hostile bid takeover by Marchion and other activist investors. This week, Marchion went public, squashing any additional rumors, citing Fiat Chrysler's attempt for a hostile bid will go undone, telling shareholders that he can grow his firm without a GE merger. That's great, Marchion, because it doesn't sound like Mary wants your offer anyways. Marissa Mayer, who is in the news daily this week, highly criticized by analysts for her lack of progress in turning around Yahoo and an exodus of top executives that have been reported in the Wall Street Journal in the most recent weeks. Well, many have speculated that this has increased the pressure on the company's board to consider her future and alternatives to her turnaround attempt, now in its fourth year. Well, the board met this past week with very little public news, only creating more speculation on whether Marissa Mayer is in or out. Well, given Marissa picked most of the board and how they have backed her play to this point, it seems unlikely we will hear any major news from Yahoo's board. The question now will be whether Marissa Mayer will seek to leave the company herself, especially after she takes some time off for a limited maternity leave, which is due, I believe, sometime next spring. Yahoo is purported to be on track to sell its Alibaba investments, which will quell some of the noise from activist investors who want to see more focus on Yahoo's core products, which have been largely unprofitable to this point. Marissa Mayer has focused on growth via acquisitions, which has also been very costly for the firm. No worries, we will have more news on Marissa next week because she won't be leaving the headlines anytime soon. Speaking of boards, at Fortune's Most Powerful Women Next Gen conference in San Francisco this past week, TaskRabbit COO Stacey Brown Philpott and Sukhinder Singh Cassidy. These are both they're startup founders. I don't know TaskRabbit very well, but I do know Joyous. Well, they talked at the conference to attendees on how they both achieved board member status. And believe it or not, it might be easier than you think. The key takeaways, if you want a board seat, start by telling everyone you meet, particularly any CEOs and any business elite whom you happen to know. And once you're in the running, both CEOs stated, and board members, don't act like you're interviewing for a regular job. They should know what they are talking about. Stacey Brown Philpott recently joined the board of HP, and Cassidy sits on the board of TripAdvisor and Ericsson. As I promoted, ladies, in the past, women on boards is a critical component of seeing cultural change in organizations. If you want more women in executive positions, you have to have a corporate culture that understands the diverse needs of their employees. And if you want to retain talent and increase your clients, you have to have a diverse organization. Well, how do you start that? It has to start in the boardroom. Great story. Read the article we've posted on our website and challenge yourself to a public or private board seat in 2016. Also, we love to promote 2020 Women on Boards. If you want more information on how women and other organizations are including women in their boards, go to www.2020wob.org. Well, we always love to call out new entrepreneurs, and bizwoman.com features one we think you'll really like as well. Her name is Patrice Banks. She was always suspicious of the lack of women in the automotive industry. Whenever she took her car in for maintenance, and this has probably happened to you because it's happened to me more times than I can count, the mechanics were men who often did not take the time to talk with her about the car's problems. My favorite is when they give you one price and they give your husband another price. Either way, Banks knew other women who had similar experiences who felt that they weren't knowledgeable about their car to make informed decisions and had to rely on the expertise of a man. So in 2012, she decided to do something about it. Banks, who was a materials engineer, went back to school to become an auto mechanic. Yeah, an auto mechanic, with the sole purpose of bringing more women into the auto industry. In 2013, she launched Girls Auto Clinic. It's a female-friendly resource for automotive care. Banks also sells a small book called the GAC, Girls Auto Clinic, Glove Box Guide on her website. She hosts free workshops teaching maintenance basics. Banks has also gotten an impressive response to her approach. Her free workshops are around Philadelphia, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., New York, and New Jersey. She's working on opening an all-female garage in Philadelphia with a nail salon in the waiting area and expanding her workshops to more cities, which she says will be free of charge. Check out the article that we have on our social media site. It's actually a very catchy title, quote, Mechanic in Red Heels, for more information. Well, continuing on the entrepreneur front, this week an article in the New York Times highlighted a genius idea for many women entrepreneurs who are freelancers. Many working professional women, like myself, have had the challenge of balancing family and a full-time job, and so many have gone to freelancing so that they can actually juggle their very heavy workload. Well, sometimes they can only do it in spurts. The article titled, and again, it's in the New York Times, you can find it on our website, it's called Helping Women Lean In But Not Too Far, and it's about a company called Second Shift. Founded in 2014 to address the needs of highly skilled professional women seeking flexible employment options and businesses seeking top quality on-demand talent. The mission of Second Shift is to retain critical female talent in the workforce, benefiting women, employers, and their families financially, creatively, and culturally. The firm is still fairly small and new, and it's literally the term of mom and mom shop. Get it? Not mom and pop shop? Mom and mom shop? Nope? Okay, that's fine. Well, they have so far placed women in 45 different project-based jobs. They have over 300 members and another 500 women whose references are currently under review. Well, membership is free. They make money when the job match is complete. The way they get paid, though, is the employer pays 15% of the total fee on top of the salary. And the freelancer members, you have to become a member to actually join in on the service, they have 5% deducted from their payment as a service fee. Now, this is a new company. It's much like, I'd say, competitors like Upstart and Outsource.com, which are focused on freelancers. And so you can get, like, on-demand freelancers for, you know, maybe writing a blog post or something. I think this will definitely be a service that more and more women as well. And I like the fact that employers, it's also promoting them. So for you business owners out there, try to check it out if you are looking for some on-demand work for freelancers, as well as freelancers out there. Check it out at www.secondshift.com. Lastly, it's the Christmas season, and what better way to show your support by shopping women-owned business? It's a great idea, and bizwomenagain.com leads the way with a new hashtag. It's called #ShopWomen. They have an article titled The Holiday Gift Guide that will help you support women-owned businesses. Now, their guide is not an endorsement in each of their products, but rather a compilation of many of the women-owned businesses they've written about on bizwomen.com. Check out the list. We have the link featured on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn pages, or minimally just shop local, as many local small businesses are owned by women as well. If you need help in your state or looking for an online company, are women business owned? There's a couple of networks that you should check out. eWomen Network, which we're a part of, a lot of that is focused on the eWomen Network is for women who are entrepreneurs. Women Owned Business Club, which we're also members of as well. If you go to their website, www.womenownbusinessclub.com, you can also follow them on Facebook and Twitter. It's #WOBC. And that's a network of women business owners who are also promoting their businesses. So if you want to get an idea of online, as well as, you know, local businesses, I highly suggest that you check out these sites. And the other great thing about going to each of these is it's women promoting women. I would love to come up with a list. There's a couple of ones that are on this list that I'm pretty a big fan of. Goldie Box is for technology products for girls to play with. I think that's absolutely great. Rent the Runway is one of my favorites, because who wouldn't want to wear a luxury dress for only $80-$60? Definitely something you should take a look at. But again, if you check out any of these sites, you're going to get a lot of great ideas on how to shop women.com. And if you have any great ideas, oh, and also I would also suggest, if you own your own business and you're trying to include yourself as part of this event, you should add #ShopWomen, and hopefully that'll pick up and gain some momentum. Well, we're going to go to break, and when we return, we need to bring you the list of Forbes' most powerful women in sports. If you have any questions for us, or you would like to follow us on our social media sites, do follow us on www.ewnradionetwork.com/power-lunch. You can also follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Just look up Power Lunch Radio. More when we return.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who have been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Did you know banks decline more commercial loans than they approve? In fact, national banks approve less than 20% of all business loans submitted. And that doesn't include the loans that don't even qualify. But at Inter Pares Capital, we are here to overcome those odds. We are a nationally recognized commercial brokerage firm with access to thousands of public and private lending institutions. That means we have more options to finance you than your bank does. Whether you are a startup or in need of debt refinancing or growth capital, we can help. We do the heavy lifting so you can focus on running your business. Contact us today for a free consultation with one of our business advisors at 855-365-1930. At Inter Pares Capital, We are your business partner in finance.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.
She's smart. She's successful. She's an executive. She's an entrepreneur. And she's the chief executive of her story. Who is she? She's you. Welcome to the Power Lunch on EWN Radio Network, your Power Lunch Hour, keeping you informed of women in the headlines and making their own news. And now here's your host, Mona Lisa Como.
Welcome to the Power Lunch, sponsored by Enterprise Capital. I'm your host, Mona Lisa Como. I seem to be having so many fun network problems this morning. Anyways, I'm your host, Mona Lisa Como, part of the EWN Radio Network. Check out all our shows on www.ewnradionetwork.com. Get involved. Join the EWN Women Network if you'd like to be part of like-minded women in business and entrepreneurs. We've covered a lot of ground, but before we get to our featured list, I did want to cover some of the other articles that we have posted because I think there were some really cute ones there. The one that one of my favorites this week is from Makers Women. I'm a huge fan of Makers. It's part of the AOL network, and they do a really good job of creating videos as well as articles, content. Their content is great. They're saying that they are, which I believe it is, they're the largest video collection of women's stories. And whether they're known women like Oprah or they're bringing stories of women in the media, women who are, musicians as well as athletes, they do such a great job because video is also, as we're learning, is a very powerful vehicle to get your message across. And so I follow them quite a bit, and we also post a lot of their articles out there. But you should check out their this one that they posted. It's called The Best Girl Power Moments of 2015 as Demonstrated by Adorable Kids. It is absolutely adorable. It's from Hillary to Abby, Viola to Misty. 2015 has been an incredible year for women of all ages, especially when it comes to empowering and inspiring the younger generation. That's why the brilliant folks at Goldie Blocks. They launched it's called Fast Forward Girls 2015. It's a hilarious, awesome video celebrating the best girl-powered moments of this year, and it's reenacted by little girls, many of whom who are bona fide YouTube stars. Isn't that great? Take a look. The one that they have on Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Amy Schumer is really, really just seriously, it's gonna put a smile on your face. And the other thing that's great about it that's really adorable is they've got the songs that they use are things that are very catchy, and it's something that I think that if you want to show your young girl, I would encourage. I mean, the songs are pretty trendy, and it's probably a little risque, some of the songs that they use, but the beat's great. I have to definitely say that. But definitely check it out. It's Makers, and if you see it's Girl Power Moments, we also have it on our website. The other articles that we posted this week that I wanted to call out was The Inspirational Woman, the cover of Women's Magazine featuring Kylie Lal. She is on the cover of Women's Running Magazine, and it features her. They basically put out a request and say, what inspires you, to all of their viewership or readership, is what is that you are focused on, what keeps you running? Her story was just so powerful. She's autistic, and that doesn't stop her from running at all. So it's a very good article. The other one that I liked was we got a lot of, I think, likes on this one. This one was, I think, the one that was also shared the most. This was also from Biz Woman. It's about, her name is, she's from the Glenn Jones family. The title is, This Woman Broke the Glass Ceiling and Now She Owns the Business. It's about a cable company CEO who started at the very bottom as an accountant, and she rose to CEO at the Glenn family of companies. She now owns the cable and broadband company, and it talks about how she was able to move forward. And then last but not least, there were some other things that didn't feature women specifically, but talk about how the women's movement is going on the global front. Saudi Arabia most recently announced that 900 women are running for public office in municipal elections across the country. And this is a country that just recently granted partial suffrage to women, and that's only been 4 years ago. So this is definitely great news for modernizing the country, but also giving women more rights. And so it's good to see that Saudi Arabia is taking a stance in it, and we hope to see that we'll see other countries that'll do the same thing in that vein as well. Well, like we said to you, we were going to focus on our featured list for Forbes Most Powerful Women in Sports. So who are these power women? Well, let's first start off like how they were chosen. In compiling the ranking, Forbes enlisted the help of 8 individuals who have firsthand insight and knowledge of sport's top female movers and shakers. All panelists themselves are influences in the area of business and sports, and they are all highly respected for their work and advocacy in helping move women up the corporate ladder in the sports industry. The voting panel, we should call out these 8 individuals, they're both men and women. Kathleen Francis, she's the chairman and president of Women in Sports, WISE. You should check that out. I was really impressed when I heard about the organization last year. So it's Women in Sports and Events, WISE, you can look them up. Richard Lapchek is the director of the Institute for Diversity and Ethics in Sports. Deborah Larkin is the CEO of Women's Sports Foundation. Patty Phillips is the CEO of the NACWAA, which is the National Association of Collegiate Women Athletics Administrators. Chris Plonsky, Women's Athletics Director at the University of Texas. Sue Roadland is the President of Stars and Strategies, Inc., founder of Women in Sports and Events, also WISE. Gregory Santori, he's the Principal and Practice Leader of Sports Leadership at Witt and Kiefer. And lastly, Glenn Tsujiyama is the managing partner of Global Sports Practice Leader at DHR International. The voting process was spread over 2 parts. First, each of the panelists submitted 25 unranked names, so they just came up with a list, to create a pool of well over 100 possible candidates for the list, so 25 from each of the 8. Then the pool was winnowed to the finalists who appeared most often on each of their ballots. The nominations panel was then asked to rank each candidate in order from 1 to 25 based on the following criteria. 1, quantitative metrics, 2, sphere of influence, and 3, impact. Well, quantitative metrics relates to the specific measurable criteria such as organizational revenue the candidate is in charge of, I mean, what kind of money are they bringing in, as well as measurable career accomplishments. So is it sales, is it prize money, is it employees managed, because it can't just be athletes, it's also women that are in the sports industry. Sphere of influence was the second criteria, and that asked panelists to take into consideration whether the candidate had influence outside their specific company or vertical. This is important because it can't just be within their sphere of influence. And whether they touched multiple areas of the sports industry. So the more that they had, the better chances that they ranked. Finally, impact was the third criteria. It relates to how actively and successfully the individual wield their power within the organization or brand, sector, or global stage. Of course, both influence and impact are in the eye of the beholder. So this is a similar methodology that's used by Forbes' World's Most Powerful Women list. So now that you've heard the logistics and understand that this was not just a popularity contest, here are the esteemed power women who made the list. Managing over 1,000 employees and helping drive an estimated $700 million annual revenues, number one on the list is racing heiress Lisa France Kennedy, who has established herself as the most influential female in the business of sports. As CEO of International Speedway Corporation, Ms. Kennedy manages 13 of America's biggest racetracks. Did you know that? While also playing a key role in steering the multi-billion dollar juggernaut that is NASCAR as a member of its board of directors. She is the granddaughter of Bill France Sr., a 1930s era stock car racer who founded NASCAR in 1948. She is also the daughter of Bill France Jr., who ran the organization from 1972 to 2000. The 54-year-old Kennedy has spent more than 3 decades leading ISC's expansion out of the South with the construction and acquisition of tracks in Illinois, New York, California, and several other states. More significantly, Ms. Kennedy has served as a mentor and inspiration for hundreds of aspiring female sports executives, which is why she, on a panel of sports insiders, they ranked her first on the list. Coming second on the list, and we've talked about her in the past, is NBA's Michelle Roberts. She's a powerhouse. The recently appointed executive director of NBA Player Association, Ms. Roberts, 59, is the first woman to head a major professional sports union in North America. She also joins the NFLPA head Damari Smith as the highest ranking African-American executive in sports. A celebrated trial attorney, believe it or not, she's not a sports by trade, she's an attorney. Roberts began her career as a public defender in Washington, D.C., before eventually pursuing a career in private practice at some of the country's most prestigious law firms. Well, congratulations to Michelle Roberts. Number 3 on the list is a media executive, and good to know that she's behind the scenes of one of the most powerful sports networks in the United States. Christine Dreesen is the EVP and CFO of ESPN. didn't know that, and that is really exciting. The 59-year-old Dreesen has played a key role in steering the world's most valuable media property. She has been responsible for overseeing the network's recent multi-billion-dollar negotiation of programming rights with the SEC, Major League Baseball, Monday Night Football, as well as the college football playoff. Dreesen was also instrumental in the launch of ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPNU, ESPN Deportes, and ESPNW, as well as negotiating agreements for ESPN's foreign investments. So there you have it. Those are the top three. Did you know who they were? I did not. Good to know. So let's continue on. Number four is the first athlete on the list, and there's actually two of them. It is, number four, is Venus and Serena Williams. With a combined 117 Grand Slam titles between them and more than $150 million in combined career earnings, the Williams sisters have firmly committed themselves as the top women's sports icons of this generation and the most influential athletes on the list. Very impressive. Congratulations to Venus and Serena. I'm a huge fan of Serena Williams, especially given how that woman knows how to make money. Number five on the list is someone also in the executive office. She is the SVP for Baseball Operations of Major League Baseball. It is Kim Ngee. She is professional baseball's highest-ranking female executive. Ngee is NG, so I apologize if I'm butchering that. She is lauded throughout the industry for her business prowess in both the front office and on the diamond. So we didn't know we had the powerhouse woman there in the Major League Baseball. Number six on the list is Jeannie Buss. You know her name? If you're in L.A., you know her name. I knew her name growing up in L.A. She's the co-owner and president of the Los Angeles Lakers, and she's probably very sad this week, given that her star player, Kobe Bryant, has announced that he plans to retire at the end of the season. She's the most powerful woman in basketball. Jeannie took over as Lakers team president after her father, Jerry Buss, passed away a few years ago. She's a beloved figure throughout the City of Angels, absolutely knew her name all the time growing up. Jeannie's influence reaches far beyond the hardwood. So congratulations to Jeannie Buss. Continuing on the Buss family tradition of keeping the Lakers in Los Angeles. Number seven on the list is Dawn Hudson. She is the EVP and Chief Marketing Officer for NFL. And if you remember, we brought up her name earlier this year when we were talking about the changes at the NFL. She is no stranger to the executive leadership ranks, but because she was actually the former CEO of PepsiCo North America. The NFL recently tapped Hudson to lead their marketing efforts. She is the highest-ranking female in professional football. She is also tasked with helping the league's $10 billion footprint on a global scale. Not bad, eh? Number eight, we're going to continue on. Billie Jean King, another athlete. She's in the women's professional tennis. Notice how the top athletes so far are still in the world of tennis, where women still, it is one, again, as the sport, I've talked about this in the past. Tennis is one of the few sports where there's equilibrium between men and women. And if anything, women's purses probably outrank men's. Well, she's a global icon. King parlayed her athletic success to found the Women's Tennis Association, the WTA, the World Team Tennis and Women's Sports Foundation. Voters agree that no person has done more for females in sports in the last 50 years than Billie Jean King. So congratulations to Billie Jean. She is number eight. We're going to continue on to number nine, Amy Brooks. She is the EVP of Team Marketing and Business Operations in the NBA. She's professional basketball's highest-ranking female executive. Amy Brooks has headed the NBA's vaunted TMBO unit, which has played a key role in the league's seemingly exponential growth over the last few decades. Congratulations to Amy Brooks, number nine. Last but not least, before we go to break, number 10 is Val Ackerman. She is the commissioner for the Big East Conference. Did you know that? The WNBA's first president. Ackerman became commissioner of the new Big East Conference in 2013, is considered by many as college athletics' most influential female. Not just great news to hear how great that's going. So we've got numbers 1 through 10, and notice that we only have athletes in the top 10. I think that's very, very impressive. Well, we're going to go to break. We're going to finish up with the last 10, and we're going to bring you hopefully names that you know, but hopefully it can also inspire you to hear that there's so much more that we could do in the world of sports. So great to see so many powerful women, especially as athletes, but more importantly, women behind the scenes that are making it happen. More when we return.
Are you an entrepreneur, coach, or consultant who is tired of constantly searching for the next client? Are you ready to get your expertise out of your head, into the world, and packaged into a profitable online course that delivers a steady stream of your perfect ideal clients to your door and a steady, predictable source of revenue? Hi, this is Janine Blackwell, creator of Create Six Figure Courses Virtual Bootcamp, and I've created my own seven-figure courses, and I've walked hundreds of experts like you through the step-by-step of creating and launching a profitable online course. I'd like to invite you to a free online training I'm hosting for you called The 7 Steps to Creating and Launching Your Profitable Online Course. I'm going to show you exactly how to create your course, market your course, and automate delivery of it so you can get your course up and running fast and have it work for you 24/7. You can grab your spot for this free training at www.createmyonlinecourse.com. So join me at www.createmyonlinecourse.com.
Did you know banks decline more commercial loans than they approve? In fact, national banks approve less than 20% of all business loans submitted. And that doesn't include the loans that don't even qualify. But at InterParis Capital, we are here to overcome those odds. We are a nationally recognized commercial brokerage firm with access to thousands of public and private lending institutions. That means we have more options to finance you than your bank does, whether you are a startup or in need of debt refinancing or growth capital. We can help. We do the heavy lifting so you can focus on running your business. Contact us today for a free consultation with one of our business advisors at 855-365-1930. At InterParis Capital, we are your business partner in finance.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Power Lunch on EWN Radio Network, your Power Lunch Hour keeping you informed of women in the headlines and making their own news. And now here's your host, Mona Lisa Como.
Welcome back to the Power Lunch. I'm your host, Mona Lisa Como, sponsored by InterParis Capital, your one stop for all your business and financing needs. Whether you're a startup or been around, InterParis Capital has more funding options than your bank. So let's wrap up this week's Women in the Headlines. But before we went to break, we were rounding out Forbes' most powerful women in sports. Now, the first top 10, as we talked about, what was interesting about them is eight of the 10 women were really women that were more in the front office. So they were executives that are making decisions. And, you know, when I talk a little bit about how we've got to get women in boardrooms, what's great to see about women in these executive positions is then it's going to give more opportunity for women in sports as well. So I'm pretty excited about that. Well, we're going to continue on the list at number 11 is Sandy Barbour. She's the athletic director, AD, Big State University. The former Cal Berkeley and current Penn State athletic director has developed a reputation for being one of the most forward-thinking administrators in all of college sports. I've read up quite a bit on her. I'm actually going to see if we can try to get an interview with her. So if you know her, please let us know. The next woman on the list is number 12, president of business ops for the Los Angeles Clippers. It's Jillian Zucker. We covered her when she got promoted. I think it was right after the changeover in ownership. She's former Otter Club Speedway president. Zucker was hired in 2014 by the new Clippers owner, Steve Ballmer, to overhaul the franchise's business unit and provide a new identity for the team. And we reported on that when it came out. That was a big deal. The next woman on the list is also somebody you know for having to deal with the government and the Department of Defense and the military and Secretary of State. She is the former U.S. Secretary of State, joined the new College Football Playoff Selection Committee in 2013. Who am I talking about? Condoleezza Rice. She is the member of the College Football Playoff Committee. She has played an influential role in women's sports advocacy for decades. She also works at Stanford University. Seen her speeches. Such a powerhouse woman. She can speak fluent Russian. And then on top of that, she knows football like no one's business. So glad to see that she's ranked there. Number 14 is Sheila Johnson. She is the co-owner of the Washington Mystics, Wizards, and Capitals. She's the co-founder of the Black Entertainment Television, BET. Johnson became the first African-American female billionaire. She now owns a considerable stake in three of Washington, D.C.'s professional sports clubs. Not bad. Next on the list is number 15, Lydia Murphy-Stevens. She's the president of the Pac-12 Network. She's a winner of 24 Emmy Awards. Murphy Stevens is considered by many as one of the top female media executives in sports. She was tabbed in 2011 to launch the Pac-12's own network. Murphy Stevens is helping create a global footprint for the conference. My personal favorite is the Pac-12 because I grew up in the Pac area and a lot of my family actually attended any of those schools. Number 16 is Deborah Yao. She's the AD, athletic director at North Carolina State University. She is a celebrated basketball coach. Yao has served as head athletic administrator at three different institutions, St. Louis, Maryland, and NC State, over the last 25 years. Number 16, Deborah Yao. Next on the list is an athlete. Number 17, surprisingly, a tennis athlete. She's women's professional tennis, Maria Sharapova. A five-time Grand Slam winner and Olympic silver medalist, Sharapova has parlayed her fame into a burgeoning business empire led by her international confectionery company, Sugarpova. Sounds kind of cute. Yep. Next on the list is number 18, Laura Gentile. She's the SVP of ESPNW. Laura is the founder of ESPNW, ESPN's first dedicated business built to serve, inform, and inspire women. It's actually where we get a lot of our content for women in sports. Dozens of high-level executives, sports executives, cite Gentile as one of the most forward-leaning female executives in the business. Laura Gentile. Number 19 on the list is Katrina Adams. She is the CEO and president of the United States Tennis Association. Are you guys getting the theme here? Tennis, tennis, tennis. She's a former professional player herself. Adams took over the reins of the USTA in 2015 and is responsible for ensuring America's continued growth and influence in global tennis. That's why I love the game. Rounding out 20 is Danica Patrick. She's driver of Stuart Haas Racing. She is, bona fide, the most successful woman in the history of American open wheel racing. Danica Patrick has used her influence to push the boundaries of what many have thought was impossible in a male-dominated sport. Not surprisingly to see her in the top 25. There's five more that we're going to go ahead and add on to this. Number 21 is Katie Blackburn. She is the EVP of Cincinnati Bengals. She's a shrewd negotiator. Blackburn has established herself as the most respected female front office executive in professional football. There you go. Katie Blackburn, Cincinnati Bengals. Next on the list is number 22, president of Soccer United Marketing. Carter is president of Soccer United Marketing, a position which oversees the commercial and marketing aspects of the business for Major League Soccer's commercial subsidiary. Carter and her group are responsible for all sales and servicing for MLS, CONCACF properties, and U.S. soccer and all of its national teams. Nice to see somebody on the soccer list there. Next on the list at number 23, she's the president of Equinox Holdings. The former global president of Gatorade is Sarah Robb O'Hagan. In 2012, Robb O'Hagan became head of one of the world's largest fitness lifestyle companies, comprising Equinox, SoulCycle, Blink Fitness, and Pure Yoga brands. Now that's pretty impressive. Number 24, almost done here, folks, is Becky Hammon. We all know Becky because we talked quite a bit about her in the past year. She is assistant coach and the first female coach for NBA for the San Antonio Spurs. In 2014, Hammond became the first full-time female assistant coach at any of the four major professional sports leagues in North America. Becky Hammond, down from San Antonio, Texas Spurs. Last on the top 25 most powerful women in sports is Deidre Lester. She is the former VP of Sales for Major League Baseball. Lester recently joined the Whistle Sports, the world's fastest growing digital sports network. Now, there's a number of other women who didn't make the list that I was a bit surprised. A couple were the women's business owners. For instance, we focused on Mary Ford, who I believe owns the Detroit Lions this past week. And there are also women, a couple of other NFL women owners that we posted on here. So it looks like it's not just ownership, but it should be noted that there are very powerful women that own sports franchises outside of Jeannie Buss, but also in the area of the NFL. Well, to wrap up the segment feature, Forbes contributor Jason Belzer writes, because the sports industry is composed literally of dozens of different verticals, those who made the list span the gamut, including executives of leagues like number 5 Kim Ng, teams like Jillian Zucker, collegiate athletes, and holding companies, media companies, politics, as well as a number of professional athletes. There is a 44-year age difference between the oldest member of the list, Billie Jean King, and the youngest in 17th place, 28-year-old Maria Sharapova. It should also come to no surprise that the list is well-educated, as many a master's, MBA, or a maybe at, from top institutions. The other thing that I've noted in the top 25 list is LinkedIn role for several women, including the aforementioned number one on the list, Ms. Kennedy, as well as number six, Jeannie Buss, and number 21, Katie Blackburn. And while many have argued that nepotism may play a part to their rise in power, it's only through their outstanding business acumen that these three women have proven time and time again that they are more deserving for their positions. Jeannie Buss spent decades honing her skills as a tutor of her father, Jerry, helping the Los Angeles Lakers win five NBA championships since 2000. And that off topic here, that also reminds me a lot about what's going on at the Dallas Cowboys. They have the same thing over there with Jerry Jones' daughter, Charlotte Anderson Jones. She is Charlotte Jones Anderson. I'm sorry about that. She is has done quite a bit for the NFL franchise and played quite a significant part of the franchise as well, helping out in a number of the volunteer efforts and nonprofits. Going back to the article, Blackburn, she still works hand in hand with her father and Cincinnati Bengals owner Mike Brown. She has helped the club capture three AFC National Divisional six playoff. Lastly, women represent a true minority. This is the thing that's the most impressive, folks. This list represents a true minority in a business dominated by men. While some progress has been made over the last two decades, it's so good to see a lot of women in places we never would have imagined, whether it's in the NBA Players Union, whether it's women owning franchises, whether it's women coaches for major men teams, professional teams. Fortunately, the ceiling for women is lower in sports than any other industry. In fact, these statistics are daunting. Of the combined 467 NCAA Division I athletic departments and Big Four professional sports clubs, less than 48.5% have a female at the head of their organization. The numbers across other areas of the industry are just equally as low, which is all the more reason why these female wonders, super powerhouses, and executives should be celebrated for their ability to overcome any number of obstacles to break barriers, rise to positions of power, and all the while becoming role models for the millions of women in the next generation, aspiring to reach great heights, not just in sports, but in all aspects of life. I agree. This is absolutely phenomenal to see all of these great women on this list. I'm a huge fan of a number of them. The owners, of course, you know, I personally do like to see how women can also own some of these franchises, because to me it takes it to the next level of being no different than being in the boardroom. It's one thing if you can be in the executive office. It's a whole different level if you're writing the paycheck for the players. And so it's so good to see that we're actually starting to see more and more women play a big, significant part in that. Well, that's all we have, folks. Thanks for listening. If you have any suggestions or would like to be featured on our show, send us your story at mcomo@ewnradionetwork.com. You can find any of our social media information out there as well on our links at www.ewnradionetwork.com/power-lunch. Also follow us on our social media so that you can see a lot of the articles that we don't bring up on the show, because we can only have an hour to bring you all the information. But if you think that there's an article out there that you think should get our attention, we want to hear from you. We also want to know if you want to be a part of the show. But more importantly, promoting other women is what we want to do. So if you've got some information out there, you want to call out somebody who's promoted, let us know and we'll see what we can do to make it happen. That's all we have, folks. Have a great week. And don't forget Power Lunch Radio. It's for all of your women in the news. Have a great week.
This is the EWN Radio Network.